Thanks, Bethany.
Well, welcome. As Dale has said, and as you guys probably know by now, my name's Aaron, and I'm the new youth pastor and children's pastor here, so it's a real privilege for me to be able to be sharing with you guys tonight. So if you would join me in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we love being able to gather together, and our world is a bit chaotic right now, but we just thank you that we've been able to meet twice today. And Lord, we pray that as we consider your word tonight, that you would speak to us and that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged, that we would be cut to the heart. And when we go out from here this week, that we would carry the things with us into our weeks that you challenge us with in your word. So we thank you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. So if you guys can remember back to Dale's last sermon in the last month, back in February, he shared the first message in our Jesus the Game Changer series. And he shared on Jesus' last words being our first priority. And so he looked at the Great Commission, and he looked at the command for us to go out and to make disciples. And I hope that was really challenging for you guys. Interestingly enough, I'm actually going to be sharing on Jesus' last words being our first priority, part two, because we ordered this series, and when it actually came after, like the day after Dale's sermon, the last words that the series had in mind were different ones than what Dale preached on. So Bethany shared with us from Acts earlier, and we heard about Jesus, and he's died, and he's been resurrected, which is amazing, and he's appeared to his disciples again. And he's going to be with them for 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom. And then we get to our passage that we've already just heard. And I'd actually just like to read 4 down to 8, just again, just a bit of a shorter section than what Bethany read, but I think it's good to go over it again. And while staying with them, so this is verse 4, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. So from the perspective of the disciples, they were all just your average Joes. Some of them were fishermen. There was tax collectors. They were just out doing everyday things. And then Jesus comes into their life and he calls them to be his followers. And over the course of his ministry, the disciples kind of worked out, Jesus is the Messiah. As we'll see, they didn't really understand what that meant, but they came to this conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. And during his ministry, he actually sent them out at different times, and they actually participated in this ministry of the kingdom. And so they were able to share about the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins before Jesus had even been killed. And so it was probably a bit of a shock for them when he actually did die. I don't know if they were expecting that to happen, because their picture of the Messiah didn't actually include Jesus dying. So there would have probably been lots of confusion at this time. I think there would have been a lot of doubt in the disciples. And I also think that there would have been just a lack of confidence, a lack of direction, and some disappointment. He told them this was going to happen, but they didn't actually really understand him. And so I think they would have been quite rocked by this when it did happen. But he then was resurrected. So this amazing thing happens and Jesus comes back to life. And so in their minds now, they're 100% convinced that this Jesus guy is the Messiah. He is who he says he is. People just don't come back from the dead. And that's what Jesus actually did. And so I think this would have filled them with excitement. I think they would have been filled with faith that this person is who he says he is. And I think they would have been confident as well. I think they would have been expecting Jesus to start his kingdom right then and there. I don't think they even knew that he was even going to ascend up into heaven. I think they thought he was going to start up his kingdom now. In verse 6, they ask him, is now the time that you're going to restore Israel, the kingdom of Israel? Because that's what they're thinking about. They're excited about this. They want to be a part of this kingdom establishment, and they feel ready, ready to help him out in this. And so that's why I think it's really quite interesting what Jesus said to his disciples in verse 4, because he didn't say, go out, off you go. He actually said, wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And so they felt confident, they felt ready to go out and do this kingdom ministry, but the truth is that they actually weren't ready. They weren't ready to go and do this ministry. Even though these guys had literally seen with their eyes Jesus die and then be resurrected, which none of us have seen with our eyes, they weren't ready to be sent out. And so Jesus tells them to wait. And I was trying to think of some sort of analogy that would kind of explain what this is like, because the Holy Spirit is God. He comes and he lives inside of us. And I was trying to think, like, what is that even like? And I was thinking about maybe like a car or something, like a new car gets made and it's sitting there, it's ready to go, but you don't have the keys. So you could touch it, you could open the doors, you could sit in it, but it's not good for anything. And I was like, oh, it's still not good enough. Like Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is more than that. And so I thought, well, maybe it's like a car without petrol then. Like, it's just been made, it's got no fuel in it, looks good, but it still doesn't work. And I thought, oh, that still doesn't quite capture it, does it? And so I kept going down this track and I tried out different like parts of the car until I ended up with a car that had no keys, no fuel, no engine, no wheels, and no driver. And I think that's more what it's like with the disciples. They might look good on the outside, this shell of a car, but that's not driving anywhere, is it? It's not going to go anywhere. It's missing all these things. And it's the same thing with the disciples and the Holy Spirit. They're actually vessels. So as ready as they feel on the outside, as excited as they are, they're actually just vessels, and they need the Spirit to come into them in order to empower them to do this this ministry. And I think this is something for us as well. Without the Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us, we can't actually achieve anything when it comes to kingdom ministry. Dale and I wouldn't get very far if we didn't have the Holy Spirit and we were trying to come and give sermons. And you wouldn't get very far if you were trying to lead people like Bob to the Lord if you didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So we need the Spirit if we want to be God's witnesses here in this community. We can't do it without him. We need him, and we need to remember that. We can't lose sight of that fact. So what does the Spirit do? And Jesus sort of starts to explain this a bit more in verse 8. So he says to the disciples that when the Spirit comes, the disciples will receive power. And this is something that is kind of seen in the book of Acts. Like if you read through the book of Acts, the rest of the book, you see the disciples do miraculous things. They heal the sick, they cast out demons, and at different times, you know, the dead are even raised. And so that's the ministry of Jesus continuing on through the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the ways that the disciples, these apostles, received this power. And another way that's clear in the book of Acts is in their speech as well. When the disciples speak at different times, it even says the word power. They speak with great power. And the perfect example in Acts of this is actually Peter. As we said earlier, one of the disciples, Peter, was just a fisherman. He was unschooled, and so he was not the sort of person you'd expect to be a good speaker. In fact, you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and you see that at different times, he gets himself in trouble by the things that he says. But when he receives the Holy Spirit, he then jumps up and gives a sermon, his first ever sermon, and 3,000 people get saved that day. That's amazing that there was that many people gathered together without any social distancing. But it's amazing that this unschooled fisherman was able to preach the gospel and even tell these people, you murdered the author of life. That's what he said to the Jews. And then these people came to faith in Jesus. That's not something that is achieved by human power. That is a work of the Holy Spirit inside of Peter. And amazing. That's how some of the ways that the power kind of can work in us. And that's how it worked in the apostles in Acts. And further down in verse 8, there's another important point, I think, for us. And that's when Jesus says to disciples that they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So when he says that you're going to be my witnesses, this idea of witness is kind of the fact that they were with him and they saw with their eyes his life. They saw the miracles that he did, and they heard his teaching as well. And so they were witnesses to what Jesus actually did and who he was. And what a witness does is that they then go and testify to others. Or another word for testify is just like sharing or talking or telling others what you have seen with your eyes. And so Jesus tells them, you will be my witnesses to all of these different places. And so this actually means them sharing what they've seen with others, and then people come to faith. And we call this evangelism today. And this is part of what it means to make disciples. I think that's kind of the first step, is actually sharing the message of Jesus with other people, sharing the gospel of Jesus' death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And I think one thing that is important, an important distinction to make, is between the two messages from what Dale said and then what I'm saying tonight. And the wording in verse 8 is really important. So I was hoping that Dave would be here, but he's not. So I'll use James instead. And if I said to James, you know, James, go out. Next time you play cricket, play the best game that you've ever played in your entire life. That's an instruction. That's a command to go and do something. If I said that to him. But if I say, next time you play cricket, you are going to play the best game of your life, that's actually a different thing. That's not a command. That's actually a promise. And so that's kind of what's happening here in this particular passage. Jesus isn't commanding his disciples. He does command elsewhere, as we saw with Dale from Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. But here he's actually making them a promise that they will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And as I said, I think this is a really kind of important distinction for us to realize. As Christians, we have the same spirit that the apostles had living in them. So we might not be doing the same miracles that the apostles did, but that same spirit of power still lives in us. And you know, obviously we're not going to be witnesses. We might be witnesses, but we're probably not going to be witnesses in Israel. I still think that we are going to be Jesus' witnesses here in our community. And as I said before, there are passages in Scripture, such as the one that Dale shared the other week, where we're commanded to do something. But I think it's helpful to realize that this isn't a command, it's actually a promise. And so I wanted to remind you guys, and I needed reminding this week as I prepared this message, that the Spirit is at work inside of us. He is the one that does the work. Just like those disciples, just like the apostles, we're vessels. Like that car that needs all the bits. We need the Spirit inside of us. And the good news is, if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit living inside of you. And catch this, that means that you are ready to be God's witnesses in our community. But that comes with the reminder that it's the Spirit's power that is at work in us. So Dale's challenging message to go out and make disciples, that doesn't actually need to make you feel anxious. You don't need to feel overwhelmed that you're not brave and you can't share the gospel with people. You can't invite people to church and youth group and things like that. And you also can't go, well, I'm not the pastor. I'm not, you know, a pretty, like, out there sort of person, so it doesn't really apply to me. Because it does. But you've got to remember that it's the Spirit that empowers you to do these things. So you can share the gospel with your friends, with the people you work with. You can pray for people. You can invite people to night services or morning services, so long as they're running. You can invite people to youth group. And you can just be a friend to people so that at one time, when they need it, you can actually talk to them about Jesus. And I'm just going to finish now, but this was a promise. This was a promise from Jesus to his disciples, and I think that the promise extends to us as well. Talking with Dale the other week, it's not only that I think this, but I believe this as well. So, let's pray. That's everything for me. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we can feel nervous about being a Christian in public and sharing our faith with other people. But I pray that this week you would give us a real sense of your power being in us. I pray that we would be bold and confident and know that you are with us as we go about our weeks. And Lord, I pray for opportunities for us as a church to be able to share the gospel with those people that need it, especially with this coronavirus thing, Lord. Help us to not be swept up in the fear and the anxiety. Help us, Lord, to be rocks like you in the community and to actually support people who are feeling afraid or worried or scared. Thank you for your word, Father, and I pray that it would be more than just words. I pray that we would be hearing and understanding, and that this word would go out with us this week. I pray all this in your name. Amen.